Well, good morning. Man, where has 2021 gone? We are at Thanksgiving Sunday. You know, it seems like it goes by quicker and quicker each year, doesn't it? I mean, we turn the calendar to January 1, and about that fast, we're at the holiday season yet again. Here it is. We're ready to get started, and we're ready for Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. You know, many times we have changes in our world. In 2021, we've seen a lot of changes happen in our world today. Maybe you have seen changes in your family. Maybe you have had some personal victories or some things that have not gone so well. Maybe some setbacks. You know, we have these hard times in life along with the good, and it seems like that we are in a constant state of change. And that is one thing this world will promise you, that things are going to change. Just sit around for a little while and watch it happen. Things change all the time. But we are thankful that no matter what happens, no matter what changes we see in this world and in our lives today, no matter what we go through and endure, there is something that will always remain constant, always steadfast, and always true in this life. And we must be thankful that God's promises are always there. God's promises are always there, and they are always true, and they are always right. We have to be thankful for God's promises. How many promises does God make in the Holy Bible? Does anybody have a guess? Oh, wait a minute, I put it up there. 7,147 promises in Scripture, and He comes through in every one of them. Every one of them He comes through with. That is a good God. That's a lot of promises that the Father makes to us as we come to the holiday season of Thanksgiving, and that's what we spend a lot of time dealing with right at Thanksgiving, is how thankful we are. You know, and Thanksgiving is fitting to remind us of these things because we have a lot to be thankful for. I mean, what are some of the things that you're thankful for in your life right now? What are some of the things that you might say around the Thanksgiving table that you are thankful for this year? Well, for me personally, I am thankful for my family. God has blessed me with a good family. Not only a loving mother and father, but a loving wife and three loving children. One of them I'm going to talk to after service today because I don't see him sitting there, but that's okay. I'm thankful for my health that I have to go and to make an income to raise my family and to provide for them. I am thankful for the many blessings that God has given me in this world, you know, including one of those things is being called to be pastor here at Milton Christian Church. I'm thankful for that. It's a blessing, and I love it. And I'm thankful that God has called me to do that. I am thankful for God's salvation. I am thankful for His transformation, for His regeneration in the lives of a sinner like me. So much to be thankful for because God has been so good to me. I say that this morning and I think of my friend Bud Hatfield. I don't know how many times Bud and I have stood around and we've had the conversation and he will say the same thing. And I say not this just about Bud, but a lot of the saints of God, they'll tell me, God has been so, so good to me. And He has in each and every one of our lives. God has been so good to us. I'm thankful most that God comes through on all of His promises. He keeps every last one of them, all 7,147, and that's just in the Scripture. The promises that He makes and He keeps, it goes on forever. So let's start looking at a couple of the promises that God makes to us this morning. All of God's promises are made out of His character, His perfect character. And that first promise that I want to discuss this morning out of His character is God's faithfulness. God is faithful in all that He does. And many times we take that for granted, don't we? We take His faithfulness for granted. There are so many places in all of Scripture that talks about God's faithfulness. But I wanted to start out this morning in Psalm 145, verses 13 to 19. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule is for all generations. The Lord is faithful in all of His words and gracious in all His actions. The Lord helps all who fall. He raises up all who are oppressed. All eyes look to You, and You give them their food at their proper time. You open Your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of His ways and faithful in all of His acts. The Lord is near to all who call out to Him. All who call out to Him with integrity. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry for help and He saves them. The Lord guards all those who love Him, but He destroys all the wicked. My mouth will declare the Lord's praise. Let every living thing bless His holy name forever and ever. Man, I love that passage of Scripture, and that's just one of many that talk about God's faithfulness. But did you know that we can rest in God's faithfulness? And let me say that again. We can rest in God's faithfulness. I don't care who you are, what your religious affiliation is, no matter what you believe, you rest in God's faithfulness. I heard a pastor say it like this one time. He says, even an atheist has faith in God, whether they believe it or not, whether they know it or not. How does an atheist have faith in God? How do we have faith in God? I guarantee you that last night when you closed your eyes and you went to sleep, you did not worry one ounce if the sun was going to come up on the eastern horizon today. Too bad it's raining. If the sun was out, it would have been a little bit better, but that's okay. It's still in the sky, and it's still shining bright. And we do not worry that come around 5:30 tonight, it's going to set in the west. Why? Because God is faithful in all of His actions. He is faithful and righteous in all of His actions. We don't have to worry if the sun is going to come up in the morning, because He is faithful and righteous. God's faithfulness is a foundational part of His character, and He will never go against His perfect character. However, we're not always faithful, are we? Many times we miss the mark. Sometimes we miss the mark by an awful lot. We're not even on the same page. But we had better be thankful for God that He is patient with us. Are you thankful that God is patient with you? Man, I'm thankful that He's patient with me, because I mess up an awful lot. But He's always there. He's always loving and caring and pushing me to be better. You know, in 2 Timothy 2, verses 10 through 13, it says, this is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with all eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. For if we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Aren't you thankful that God keeps His promises and that He is faithful no matter what? So moving on this morning, let's go ahead and we're going to look at God's goodness, because God's goodness is so amazing and wonderful. You know, and as we talk about God's goodness, we're thankful for that goodness because it flows. What happens when God is good to us? Something happens in us, and we begin to allow praise to flow from God's goodness, right? God has been so, so good to me. He's been so good to me. And that is an act of praise. When we feel it and we understand God's goodness, praise flows from it. And because God is good and we can experience His goodness all the time, we should praise Him. You know, and sometimes what we go through, what we endure, it's not always easy, is it? It's downright difficult and hard at times. But God is good. In Psalm 31, 19 to 21, it says this: "How great is your goodness that you have stored up for those who fear you, and accomplished in the sight of everyone for those who take refuge in you. You hide them in the protection of your presence. You conceal them in a shelter from human schemes, from quarrelsome tongues. Blessed be the God, for He has wondrously shown His faithful love to me in the city under siege." How great God is your goodness. And God's goodness, where does it flow from? Does God need to be good to us? Does He need to be good to me? Nope. He doesn't. But it all comes from His grace. His goodness comes from His grace and His character. And that grace, God, is so amazing, isn't it? And we should express our gratitude for God's goodness because He's been good to us for so many years. God has been so good to me. It's simple, yet it is very powerful, isn't it? A few simple words that can express our love and gratitude to God. He is so good to me. Has He been good to you? Better believe He has. Something to consider and reflect upon as we come closer to Thanksgiving and God's goodness. You know, another one of God's promises has to do with wisdom. Godly wisdom is such a wonderful promise for His children because God does not want us to be oblivious to the expectations that He has for us. And God does have expectations for His children. The gift of wisdom is more important, or the gift of wisdom, and more importantly, godly wisdom, is so important to us today. It is so important to us today. And I say godly wisdom because godly wisdom and worldly wisdom are two separate things, completely different. I can have all the intelligence and wisdom of this world and it not mean one ounce, one thing when it comes to my eternal salvation. Has no bearing on it at all. And godly wisdom far outweighs anything this world can offer. In Psalm 111, verses 9 and 10, "He has sent redemption to His people. He has ordained His covenant forever. His name is holy and awe-inspiring. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow His instructions have good insight. His praise endures forever." Where does godly wisdom begin? It doesn't begin up here. It's not anything that I can know about what this book has to say. It all begins right here. It all begins with the fear of God. And by golly, He needs to be feared. God needs to be feared. Why? Because He is the only one who can save or damn anyone. And let me tell you something. If that doesn't scare you, it really should. It should scare us and make us fear. But what does that fear lead me to? That fear leads me to His love. That fear leads me to repentance. That fear leads me to everlasting life. And He knows it. He doesn't put the fear of himself in us to torture us in any way. He puts that fear in us because he loves us and he wants us to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the beginning of godly wisdom. And godly wisdom will take you very far in this life. And it'll lead you on to eternity. You know, when Jan was up here speaking this morning during communion, he said something that really struck me, and something that I did not put in the message that I should have. That God's character, that God, he never, ever changes. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ said, I am the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm the same. Isn't that a breath of fresh air in our world today? With everything around us that changes all the time, Jesus says, I do not change. And one of the greatest promises that God gives us is this truth, that he doesn't change. He will not, because he doesn't change, we can stand upon this truth. He will not, he cannot lie to us. He cannot lie to us. He stays true all the time. And in our world today, this is very uncommon, isn't it? Someone who doesn't lie to you. I mean, we're lied to around every corner we turn in today's world, aren't we? If you don't believe me, turn on the news tonight. Watch it for about 30 seconds. You'll get lied to quite often. He cannot lie. That is the bedrock of God's truth. It is the bedrock of our faith. And it goes all the way back to the Old Testament promise that God made to Abraham. Remember that Abraham was a friend of God. And God had made him a promise that out of Abraham would come a great nation. That Abraham would be the father of so many people in the nations. But Abraham was about 100 years old the time that God made this promise. God cannot lie. So it was going to come true. It was going to happen. And God made that happen. And the nation of Israel was born out of it. If we turn to Hebrews 6 this morning, and we look at verses 13 to 21. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore it by it by himself. I will indeed bless you, and I will greatly multiply you. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and for them a confirming oath ends every dispute. Because God wanted to show his unchangeable purpose even more clearly to the heirs of the promise, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Jesus entered through on our behalf as a forerunner, because he has become the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. God swore to Abraham on himself, because there is nothing greater in all of creation than God himself. And he swore this oath on himself. And God cannot lie. It is unchangeable. It is unthinkable that he could lie. And if he cannot lie, we can stand assured of the promises that he gives us. We have those promises. We have them. And all they mean so much. As we begin to finish up here today, I want us to consider what the product of these attributes of God, what they really mean for us. You know, all the attributes of God, they flow from, and they're not separated from God Himself. They come from His character, they are steadfast and true, and they are everlasting. They are everlasting. I've said many times that the greatest force and power in all of creation is what? What is the greatest force and power in all of creation? It all is God's love. God's love created all of this. Everything that we see, everything that we don't see, it all comes from His amazing and gracious love. God is love. He is love. And I want us to finish today on this passage of Scripture from 1 John. 1 John 4, 7 through 18. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God, and he knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Love consists in this way, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. God loved us this way. We are called to love one another in the same way. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen it, and we testify that the Father has sent the Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in Him, and He in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love of God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is made complete with us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because He is, so also we are in this world. You know, so many times we think that we think about how God loves us. We think about how God loves us and how we should respond to that love. How are we supposed to respond to the love that God has shown you and me? He says it's real simple. I've loved you, now you go love someone else. You love those people around you. Not just the people that I have given you and your family, but you love everyone around you. You love them with that same type of intense, radical love that He has shown us. Man, and that can be hard to do at times, isn't it? It can be extremely difficult and hard to do at times, because we can be unloving at times. I'm not going to point anyone else out. I'm going to look at myself first. I can be very unloving at times, and so can you. But we have to look past all of those shortcomings, all the things that we think make people unloving, because we need to see them exactly the way Jesus sees them. He sees them as a living soul that was made in the image of their Creator, and we're to love them no matter what. No matter what. No matter if they lie to you, if they hurt you, they steal from you, they disrespect you. No matter if they talk bad things about you. It makes no difference what they do. It makes no difference if you are imprisoned unfairly. There may come a time that we understand what Paul was writing about when he preached to the captives in chains there in the prison. Paul didn't see them as the enemy. He's seen them as someone who needs to know Jesus. And he preached it because he believed it. Because God loved him. And God loves you. And God loves me. And we need to love. We need to love like God. Man, and that can be difficult in this day and age, can't it? But it doesn't change the fact that we've got to do it. We need to do it. We should be doing it. We must do it. We must love like God. You know, I pray, and for those of you that are have never heard me preach or are new here, I usually don't use that much passage of Scripture when I preach on a Sunday morning, but I wanted the Word of God to speak for itself today, and I hope that it did. I hope that you take what you've heard here today, that it propels you to go and enjoy this Thanksgiving holiday with your family and friends as we remember why we are to be thankful. We're supposed to be thankful because God has given us so very much. He is faithful and true. He is good in all that He does. He cannot lie. And by golly, He loves like no one else. Amen.